you to Kansas City through local news, topics, and conversation. It's the Tim and Tom Show. It is the Tim and Tom Show, episode two. The second time.
So we're trying to get better.
We're perfect now. We know exactly what we're doing now.
Yep.
We got
smooth sailing.
So, what are we doing again?
Yeah, what?
No, this is the Tim and Tom Show where we talk about the city of fountains, the city of Kansas City and its surrounding metropolitan area. Because we like it.
We live in it. We're a part of it.
And we think you like it too.
Yeah, that's why you're listening.
And you want to know more about it.
Right.
So we're going to do that.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Tonight on the show, we've got Grassy Pants Beef CEO, Laura Sanko, with us.
Sounds official.
Yes. And she's going to tell us about some of the benefits of why to go with grass-fed beef.
Grass-fed beef.
Kind of that process of how that actually happens. And why to buy local.
Why to buy local. You also might learn a thing or two in this,
yeah,
in this interview. Yeah,
for sure.
But as we kick this show off like we do every week.
Yes.
I mean, we've only done it once, but, you know.
Every week.
This is how we do it. We talk about news, local news.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually got some feedback in our first episode, and we're going to take it. We're going to try to stick with positive things. You know, people are getting run over and shot out there. And
for those types of stories, you can find that information.
Yeah, that's plentiful. You got all the local great news organizations that cover that.
Right.
And they cover some of these things too, but we figured that's not what you're listening to this show for. You're not trying to, this isn't the nightly news.
We want to make you smile.
We want to make you smile. So we're going to talk about things that are like, hey, that's neat.
Exactly.
So we're going to go ahead and we'll start that now.
Yes.
Yeah. Missouri college students are getting a break next year as Governor Jay Nixon announced a freeze on tuition costs for the 2016-17 school year. Nixon also announced nearly $56 million in additional performance funding for state universities. Missouri now ranks first in the country at holding down tuition costs, according to the governor.
That's great.
And they're holding us tuition costs down.
Yeah, good. Because, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to go to a higher education.
A lot of money.
You know what I mean?
Trust me, I got a lot of bills
exactly.
to pay because of that.
I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. So anytime you get any news of, hey, guess what, next year, costs staying the same.
Yep.
So that's definitely.
If we can
plus.
Just find a way to kind of bring them down,
right?
That
yeah.
Would
eventually,
be nice.
Let's bring them back down. But at least they're not going up for one calendar year.
That's right. All right. Good on Missouri. Hispanic-owned businesses in Kansas and Missouri grew by nearly 30% over the last 3 years, among the fastest in the nation, according to a study by the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Hispanic-owned businesses grew at an average of 7.5% nationwide, nearly 15 times more than the national average of 0.5%.
Wow.
Yeah?
That's remarkable.
That is
remarkable.
I mean,
it really is.
Yeah.
And it's good to see local businesses, you know, thrive and grow. And it's also good to see specifically Hispanic-owned businesses, you know, growing at this rate because, I mean,
well, I mean, just anything. It provides opportunity
exactly.
for jobs
mm-hmm.
and puts money back into the economy. So
definitely. So, yeah, it's a good thing to see that jobs are being created and we're leading in one
like
aspect.
15 times the national average.
That's amazing.
That's great. Science City was awarded with an Edgy Award this week, one of six such awards given globally for focusing on regional educational priorities and partnering with local businesses. Science City earned the Leading Edge Award for Visitor Experience from the Roy L. Schaefer Leading Edge Awards that recognize exemplary accomplishments during the past 3 years. These awards are presented annually to members of the Association of Science Technology Centers and or their employees in recognition of extraordinary accomplishments in visitor experience, business practice, and leadership in the field that not only enhance performance of their institutions, but also significantly advance the mission of science centers and museums.
I love Science City.
Oh, it's great.
First off.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, we should get somebody from Science City on here to talk about it. It's an amazing experience.
Have you been recently? Like, Science City,
I feel like a few months back. Probably maybe within 6 to 3 months back.
Yeah, I went there at the beginning of summer, and it's so much fun. Here's the thing that I think Science City does really awesome is it's really fun to go as a kid. You know, when you go as a school field trip and you get to, you know, be out of school one and then two, you're getting to touch crazy things and look at, you know, crazy pictures.
Look what this does when I put my hand
exactly.
here.
All this fun stuff. But the great thing about Science City is, you know, if you go back later, in your case, with kids or anything like that.
Not young.
Right, exactly. Right. You're having just as much fun.
Absolutely. You know, I had a blast. I was like, I was more like, kids, come over here, look at this. Right. Like, yeah, that's great, Dad. But
yeah,
look
because,
at this.
You know, anytime you get older, you start to like appreciate all the stuff that you were trying to be forced to learn in education that you kind of like, I don't know why I have to learn that. But when you get older, you're like, well, that's kind of cool. And when you go to Science City, you have that same, at least for me, that same enthusiasm you did as a kid on a field trip than when you're going just to see what's new.
Are you calling me old?
Those are your words.
No, but good for them. And again, one of these awards I saw went to somebody in China even. So this was a global.
Yes.
Only six of these went out.
Science City, honestly, and for those who haven't gone recently, definitely check it out. It is one of the businesses in Kansas City that I think people look at and recognize and in association with Kansas City. It's a Kansas City.
And it's a great thing because you also, I mean, that whole entire area
has
so much things to do. So make sure you stop by the Science City. Good for them.
Winning awards.
Tech Week, the nation's leading technology conference and festival, announced they have committed to five more years of the festival in Kansas City. Tech Week CEO Katie Lynch said, quote, Kansas City is awesome and has a thriving tech scene and is just going to grow year after year, end quote. Lynch said they have been watching Kansas City for several years in regards to Google Fiber and Cisco Smart City, and that seeing how far KC has come in the last 5 years, it just made sense to want to stay around to see how far it comes in the next 5 years. This year's Tech Week conference in Kansas City saw an attendance of 5,000 people, doubling the expected 2,500.
And Tech Week is something that I feel is still emerging in the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there's so many people that still are interested in Tech Week that have yet to go to Tech Week.
Right.
And kind of what they were saying is, well, let's see where we can go with this. I don't even think we've reached the top of the iceberg with this. You know what I mean?
It's a growing tech city.
Yeah, definitely. And I have yet to go. I saw the advertisements in the city as far as, you know, come and visit and things like that. Scheduling purposes and things like that hasn't allowed me to go.
Busy man.
Yeah, I'm somewhat busy.
Got
but
stuff to do.
I do have a thing or two to do.
Right.
But it does look really interesting. And it's really cool when national, you know what I mean, Tech Week type things.
Yeah, because they go around. I mean, like,
That's what I'm saying.
It's a deal.
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's a big deal to be like, hey,
to
we're
be,
in Kansas City.
Yeah, based here for at least the next 5 years kind of makes it exciting, you know?
Yeah.
You get to see things outside of the area coming to your town.
And we got that at least five more years.
There you go.
At the very least. All Kansas City buses will be equipped with free Wi-Fi next year, according to the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority. Currently, only 55 buses of the 236-vehicle fleet have the amenity, but the KCATA hopes the fleet-wide addition will make public transportation an even more attractive offer. The KCATA, did I say that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
President and CEO Joe Reardon said riders can now more readily turn to the internet at any time during their commute, a distinct advantage over driving since multitasking presents a clear hazard on the road.
100% agree with that statement.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm in an area of Kansas City, I'm in Jackson County on the Missouri side, where buses aren't a huge, viable, you know,
it's a
commodity.
Very big time commitment where I live in Olathe.
Right. And so, but this does make it more attractive to do because there's so many times when, especially in some of my past jobs, I know where I needed to send an email.
Absolutely.
Finish a presentation, send, you know.
Well, and we all know. Don't text and drive. Don't email and drive. But it is hard to get that out of your brain sometimes.
Yeah.
We all catch ourselves going,
right.
And like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
And with business being a 24-hour commitment, especially if you're a small business owner, if you're driving and you get a text message saying, you know, you need to be here or, you know, something happened, well, you need to respond to that. You know what I mean? Or someone's calling the company. Mm-hmm. They want to talk to you. Well, you need to be available and driving and doing that kind of stuff
is
really bad.
And he said, more so even than in just what I read here, he said, this is a big thing to reach out to millennials, too, because they put that at a premium.
Right,
Wi-Fi access.
Oh, my goodness. Millennials, 100%, are always connected. And for you to get on a bus and then go like, you know, for the next 15, 20 minutes, however long it takes you to get to your destination, I'm not going to be connected. Like,
well, it seems like studies show too that they have a less desire to like, oh, I got to own my own car. And they'd just be like, I'll just get on the bus and, you know, do my emails and Facebook and get to work and ready to go.
As I kind of said right when we read the story, if buses were available more readily in my neighborhood, I would 100% be taking buses because I would much rather. And this isn't from a business aspect. I would much rather just be on Facebook to get to my destination and check out what's going on, or Twitter, yep, or Instagram.
Trying to merge.
Yeah, then trying
to merge.
Right, yeah, you know, or yeah, turn, or put on, yeah, a turn signal. I don't, yeah, want to do that.
I got to get off at the next exit?
No, no. Have someone take care
I'd
of that for
like
me.
I'd rather like Tom's post.
Exactly.
Oh, this is fun. A 7-year-old from Overland Park made headlines this week when a video of him dancing to Taylor Swift songs went viral, prompting an appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Dylan Barnes was then given tickets to a Taylor Swift concert at the Sprint Center this week and also got to meet Swift. Swift later tweeted a video of her and Barnes dancing together.
Did you see the video?
I did.
That was pretty cute.
Isn't it? It's, you one know, of those heartwarming.
Yeah, you always get a little jaded when you hear celebrities, yes, doing things.
They're
it's like,
whatever.
Yeah, okay. And I've never met Taylor Swift. Couldn't tell you if she is who she portrays to be. But it seems like, at least for in this instance, it seemed genuine. And it's cool to, like, have someone local go viral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it was really cool to see.
You'll have that forever, man.
Right, exactly. You know? So good for her. Good for him. And he got to go on Ellen, which is, yeah, I assume.
Did you go to one of the Swift concerts? They were a big deal here, too.
You know, both were sold out. I wanted, yeah, to. 100%. Yeah. I know that
oh,
people.
Oh, I'm sure you could have bought a ticket for $3,000.
Yeah,
if you
I'm not doing
to.
That.
Yeah.
Not doing that. I am a, I guess you could say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. But I am a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, you're open.
Yeah, I'm
you're
open Taylor Swift, yep, fan. Yep. I will shake it off.
Self-proclaimed, yeah.
I will shake it off at the drop of a hat.
I will shake it off all over this town. All right. The Kansas City Royals won their first pennant for the first time in 30 years this Thursday night after defeating the Seattle Mariners 10-4. The Royals are now guaranteed a spot in the Major League Baseball postseason as the American League Central Division champions.
Here's what's crazy, I think, about with the Royals is now this is the second year in a row that we're going to the playoffs, and it feels weird that the excitement's there in the city.
Sure.
But it almost...
But you're kind of like, of course.
You yeah, get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For the Royals being historically bad.
Yeah. I think that doesn't have as much to do with, oh, well, we went last year. I think it was they kicked it off this season in first.
Right.
And never
true.
Looked back.
Yeah.
I mean, there might have been early on the season
right,
time or two.
Of course.
With it, but for 99% mm-hmm. of the season, it was the Royals.
Yeah.
So people were like, well, of course, yeah, they're going to win the pennant.
But yeah, that attitude of assumption
yeah.
with Royals yeah. fans is really interesting
God.
To see because
yeah.
5 years ago.
They were a laughingstock even in town.
Yeah, 5 years ago, traditionally in this city.
Three.
Right,
well,
yeah.
three, there was a
yeah,
shot.
There was,
but yeah.
But five, yeah. 5 years ago in this town, this is Chiefs season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's still Chiefs season.
Of course.
But we were already like...
Royals were...
Who's the second baseman?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, now...
Because yeah. now it was you knew there was no chance.
Right, so we're moving on.
Fifth place.
Now
yeah.
the city has that excitement of, well, guess what? Chiefs are still have a shot to make it to the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, now we have a Monday Night Football game against the Green Bay Packers, which is a historically national
never
team.
Never lost in Lambeau Field.
Exactly.
So yep.
And now we've got the Royals going to the postseason. It adds that excitement, and, man, it's,
yep.
it's
champagne
fun.
Champagne.
Yeah, let's just
yeah.
get yeah.
Let's party. Let's
put a smile on your face and watch some sports.
Sports! All right, final story. The state of Missouri will team up with Major League Baseball to bring the Urban Youth Academy to the Show Me State. Governor Jay Nixon announced that over 1,000 Kansas City youths will benefit annually from academic support and athletic instruction. The Urban Youth Academy will provide educational programs, Major League quality baseball and softball instruction for K-12, skills development camps, and competitive leagues and tournaments. Other funding partners for the Urban Youth Academy include the City of Kansas City and the Kansas City Royals.
That's great because one thing that you've noticed, and I'm not saying anything that's shocking, is you're noticing in baseball and other sports, but primarily baseball, it's becoming almost where we watch other people from different countries coming mm-hmm. in to play the sport. You don't typically see, you know what I mean?
There's baseball's participation is low compared to football and
exactly.
basketball nowadays. Yeah.
And with two things working in their favor, one, the kind of health conscious awareness of, you know, with football and other
safer
sports,
sport
yeah,
to play.
You know, it's a safer sport to play. So hopefully that will ignite the baseball, you know,
resurgence.
Fever. Yeah, resurgence. Yep. Mm-hmm. And two, with it being here and camps and coaching from, I assume, with the Royals being a part of it,
right.
you're going to get some
and maybe some visiting
Hall of
players.
Yeah,
be,
you know, yeah. some Royals Hall of Famers that'll yeah. be a part of the...
Well, I imagine even visiting teams will come
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
One guy will be there their representative, for it, and he'll come out and, hey, I'll show you how to pitch.
Right, exactly. You know? So it's cool to see that baseball is putting some money back into their sport, and it's definitely, as we've mentioned with every story, it's awesome that it's happening here.
A big fan of community outreach.
And even with the baseball in the town, you also have the Negro League Baseball Museum. I mean, there's so much baseball history here, and now the Royals are good.
Well, and just sports in general. Kansas City has a huge football history and basketball and all that jazz. So, I mean, it's good to see the city getting involved and entities like Major League Baseball taking notice of that also.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was the news. Our positive news.
Yes.
Good things going around the city.
Good things are happening here. Be proud to be a Kansas Cityan.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break, but we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Laura Sanko of Grassy Pants Beef.
Yeah, we're going to teach you up on some that.
Teach you up
on some of that.
We're going to learn you some beef when we come back to the Tim and Tom Show on the Trending Topics Network. City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show.
Woo!
Music gets me hyped every time. I'm excited.
It does have that upbeat tempo.
Yeah, it's like, I just want to dance.
Okay, fair enough.
No dancing in the studio. No dancing in the studio. But it's time for our interview. We talked about this earlier.
Yes, so now we're going to get into the interview. We've got Laura Sanko with Grassy Pants Beef on the line. Laura, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome. I'm sitting here on my couch in my jammies.
So, very relaxing night. Are you going to check out the moon tonight? We're recording this on a Sunday for people who listen to this later, but the moon is going to, I guess it's called a red moon or a blood moon?
Blood moon.
Yeah, are you going to check that out tonight?
I don't know if I'm going to spend a whole lot of time with the moon tonight, but I will tell you, I was driving east on my way home for about 40 minutes, and it was absolutely, it looked gigantic because it was so close to the horizon line. Absolutely beautiful. So cool looking.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. Hopefully we can get out of here in time to check out the blood moon as it is. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Grassy Pants Beef. So tell us a little bit, kind of an overview of what Grassy Pants Beef is.
Sure, absolutely. So Grassy Pants Beef is my company, and we sell 100% grass-fed beef. The beef is also organic, but I don't actually have the organic certification because it is a pain in the booty. We'll just say that. So, and it's a little bit too much for a small farm like mine to handle. But anyway, it is organic. It is definitely grass-fed, and it's just awesome stuff. I kind of married into a bit of a cattle business and just decided to start selling, you know, a little bit of beef on the side, and it's been super fun.
So for people like me who hear this a lot, and especially in stores like a Whole Foods or something where you'll see grass-fed, can you explain what the benefits to grass-fed beef as opposed to, you know, anything else that they feed
you with? Yeah, I know. It's super confusing because you see that and you're like, well, what else would they eat?
Right.
Which, you know, that's kind of the point. So most of the beef that we see in the grocery store, and I'll start out by saying, I'm not someone who is going to sit here and say that you should only ever eat grass-fed beef. There are a lot of people that feel that way. I'm not necessarily one of them. I think that there are some potential health benefits to it, but, you know, it is a more expensive product, and not everybody can do that. And quite honestly, I think, you know, I'm just a fan of beef in general, so I'll just kind of put that out there. But traditional grain-fed beef is when cows are raised a little bit on pasture, then primarily they're fattened on, you know, feedlots. So they're given corn and grain and things like that. Basically, it's a really, really high starch type of food that helps them put on weight a lot faster.
Gotcha.
So they're able to harvest that cow a lot quicker. So what we do is sort of a little bit more what nature intended, which is just, you know, we've got cows on grass, and they're on grass their entire life, right up until the time that we take them to be with their maker.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and with that, you know, you're mentioning how like cows are getting fattened, and you mentioned that these are, you know, organic, it's organic beef. So with that, any hormones that are, you know, obviously, like, is there any hormones that are a part of that process of what we're eating, or is it completely hormone free as well?
It's also hormone free. Yeah, we don't, the majority of the animals that we use in our program are cows, and you don't give cows hormones. You only get bull hormones or steer's hormones to make them grow a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. But most of the beef that we're eating is from the female animal. So you would never have hormones in grassy pants beef.
So, and you say this is more expensive. Is this because it takes, is it just because it's a longer time, or does it also
it
take
is,
more?
Yeah, that's the primary reason. It takes a lot, you know, and I wish I should almost have my husband doing this interview with me, because he's sort of the cow scientist. He could tell you exactly the percent longer that it takes, but I can tell you that it's significant. And yeah, so that just makes for a much more, you know, a much higher investment on the side of the farmer to raise that animal. And you do tend to have not quite as much beef as well. So longer time to make it, slightly less product per animal, which just kind of comes out to, you know, a little bit higher end product.
Well, let's get now into specifically your company. How did we come up with the name Grassy Pants Beef? Is that is that an inside joke, or where did that name come from?
Kind of. I just didn't want it to be such and such farms, because I feel like that was everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be, I don't know, I wanted to do something kind of fun. And so my husband, when he comes in from working with the cattle, he always has these, like, his work clothes are covered in grass, and quite honestly, they're covered in poop. And so I had this, like, special laundry basket where I make him put all his work clothes. And in my mind, I was like, well, I got to do a load of poopy pants. And I went to come up with a name for the company. I was like, okay, what makes me think of the cattle? What makes me think of, you know, this as a part of our family? I'm like, oh my gosh, poopy pants, but I can't name, I cannot name a food company poopy pants.
I don't know that I want to buy beef.
Yeah, I don't think people would really want to eat poopy pants beef.
No.
So I sort of modified it, because they're also very grassy pants as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more. I was on the website, and one of the first things that's on the site on your homepage is ground steak. Tell us a little bit about what ground steak is.
Yeah, that's a product that is uniquely ours. So most of the time when you buy ground beef at the grocery store, what you're buying is trimmings, unless you're buying a specific type of ground beef like ground round. But even then, the round steak itself is not a high-end steak. You know, if it was, they would be cutting it out for a steak. My husband, and really, we did it for inventory reasons, too. He's just a huge fan of ground beef. We don't actually eat a ton of steaks at our house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what we decided to do was, instead of cutting the steaks, we just grind the entire, I hate saying the word carcass, it just sounds so awful, but that's the proper term. We grind the entire carcass, so you get steak in the ground beef, and we age it as well, which people never age, you know, the beef that they use for ground beef, because again, it's more time, it's more expense, but it just ends up being a really, really phenomenal product that has a real rich steak-like taste to it. But you know, you can still all do all the things that you do with regular ground beef and hamburger.
So when you say you age it, what does that do to it? Is that like adding flavor to it, or is that making
it's adding flavor. The aging process itself is kind of a bizarre thing, but you know, you go to a fancy restaurant, they always age their steaks.
Hmm. Most, I didn't know that.
In fact, most restaurants age their steaks. Interestingly enough, this is going to sound strange, but it's a process of, in a controlled way, allowing the meat to actually go a teeny tiny bit bad, which I know sounds crazy.
Sure, right, but I'm guessing certain bacteria or things set in that give it a flavor.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, the difference between American cheese and blue cheese. You know, you would never think, oh, I want to eat some mold, but you know, it's part of what makes it what it is, and you would never know it other than you think, oh, wow, that steak has a really great steak-like flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So
you mentioned the organic thing and how to be certified organic and everything is a lawyered trip to get done. With the term grass-fed, is there any controlling body over that, or is there?
There's not. Oh. There's not. And that is a really, really good question. And it's something that I would say if people are really passionate about having grass-fed beef, they should always ask the question or always try to investigate whether the grass-fed their beef, the grass-fed beef that they're having has been grain-finished, because that's kind of a little, I don't want to say dirty secret, but it's a little bit of a secret that sometimes people won't mention, because what they'll do is the cow or the animal will live their entire life on grass, and the last 90 days they finish them, quote-unquote, finish them on grain, which means the finishing process is the last portion of time that it takes to really put on that fat coating and, like, get the interstitial marbling in the animal. So it kind of defeats the purpose. It takes away some of the benefits of the type of fat that you get when you have grass-fed beef, which is very, very similar to the fat that you would get in salmon, which we all know is, you know, obviously really, really good for us, high in omega-3s and all that good stuff. So when you switch the animal and you finish them on grain, you kind of, you know, deplete some of that grass-fed benefit that you're trying to, you know, get in the first place.
One thing here at the show, you know, we're still a new podcast, but we're always trying to support, you know, local companies and things like that. But tell us one of the benefits of buying local, at least from a beef standpoint, because, you know, you're always told, you know, buy local vegetables, buy local. But with beef specifically, what's the benefits of buying it local?
Definitely, the biggest thing in my mind is this: when you buy from larger companies. And again, I'm not here to, you know, necessarily say that they're the devil or that you should never do that. But for the most part, so the reason that you can go to the grocery store and buy, you know, ground beef that is specifically 90-10, you know, 90% lean, 10% fat, is because they're blending meat from multiple animals to get that specific ratio. When people ask me, they're like, oh, is your beef 90-10? I say, well, you know, it just depends on the animal, you know. It varies from animal to animal because I'm not blending multiple animals to get a specific beef to lean, you know, lean to fat ratio. So what that means is you just have a lot less of a risk of contamination, of really not knowing or understanding where your food is coming from. And if that's important to people, then local meat is definitely a great way to go, because you're not going to have a situation where they're taking 10 carcasses, grinding them, and just blending them all into one big vat of, you know, beef.
And that was kind of my follow-up question. So when you buy from Grassy Pants beef, you're getting one cow in the product that you're buying. It's not four different cows in whatever you're buying. It's, you know.
Correct.
Okay, that's great. That's always been one thing, is at least from like a national standpoint. I'm like, what else is, you know, it can't be just one cow here. You know what I mean? It would have to be from a national standpoint, everything being unfortunately blended together. So it's good to know that with your company, it's one cow for each one. So
yes, and for, you know, and for people too that are, you know, I know a lot of people that say, okay, I love animals, I'm passionate about animals, but I'm not like wanting to be a vegetarian. But I don't necessarily love the idea of, you know, they see, you know, people see a lot of really scary videos, and I could, trust me, I could get on my soapbox about how a lot of those are, you know, extreme propaganda. Not that the system is perfect, but, you know, they are not the horror houses that people, when I said horror, not whorehouses, horror houses that people sometimes paint them to be. But, you know, in our situation, the processing plant that we use is a small local operation. And I mean, I don't know if people are interested in understanding the process, but it's a very, I won't go into detail, but it's not a scary process. It's not like you have, you know, a lot of people, I think in their mind think, oh, there's tons of animals and they can hear the sounds of death and they're nervous. And they're like, no, you know, with beef in particular, and even on a national level, even in those big plants, it is in their best interest to make sure that the animals are calm before they're killed. Mm-hmm. And they're killed in a very, very, very quick way, which is the most humanely way, you know, humane way possible. Because if an animal is under stress when they're killed, it can change the taste of the meat and the tenderness of the meat, and then the meat is, like, useless. So even for big companies that have these reputations of, like, oh, they're evil and they just, you know, they just throw all these cattle in there and they're all suffering, it's not like that, because it's not even within their best fiscal interest to have an animal who is stressed out before they die. It's just, it doesn't work.
That's very interesting, because that's one thing I've always thought about from at least, you know, my end of the perspective is, you know, you can raise a cow to be, you know, grass fed and all these amazing things, but if you take it into the processing plant and then well, obviously now it's stressed and things like that. Right. So it's interesting to know kind of what you were talking about, how, what those effects of, you know, taking down essentially a stressed cow, what it does to our meat. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Grassy Pants as far as how can we get this? Is it online only? Are we, how can I?
Well, there's two main ways to get it. Our biggest customer in Kansas City is a company called Door to Door Organics, and you can find them at doortodoororganicskc.com. And they are, as the name might suggest, a company that delivers organic and locally grown food to your door. And surprisingly, it's not as, you know, just the description would lead you to believe that that's an insanely expensive proposition, but it's really not. They do a great job. They've got a really, really wonderful selection of locally grown meat, produce, all sorts of products, really. And it comes right to your front door all year round. And so they carry all of our steaks as well as our ground steak. Another way to get a hold of some meat is just to contact me directly, and you can contact me at laura@grassypantsbeef.com and just say, hey, I'd love to try some of your beef. The only thing about ordering through me is that because Door to Door Organics is such a great customer, and because I'm not necessarily a huge operation, they buy almost all of our steaks. So it's a rarity that I actually have steak in stock that I can sell personally. So if you're dying for a Grassy Pants filet, which you can get, you might have to get it through Door to Door Organics.
And what's the website? So if we want more information about Grassy Pants?
Door to Door. Oh, my website is grassypantsbeef.com. And then you can, if you want to order steaks, you can visit Door to Door OrganicsKC.com.
Okay. And then what about social media? People want to follow it. There's a Facebook page, correct?
There is. I'm going to admit right now it is horrendously managed.
Okay.
Horrendously managed.
Okay.
But well, you're welcome to go there. Check
sure,
it out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been great. I learned a lot here.
I really did too. I enjoyed the understanding of the process and kind of age steaks. That was one thing
I never knew that
at all. So,
yeah. Well, I totally appreciate you coming on, and everybody go check out. It's grassypantsbeef.com. Is that what we said?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, so that was Laura Sanko of Grassy Pants Beef.
Yeah, really, really interesting interview. Because honestly, aged steak, I never knew anything about that.
Well, and I was thinking in my mind, too. I was going to ask her, but I didn't want to put her on the spot in case she didn't know of the how do they come across the mixtures of 90-10. And then voila,
the info
just appeared. So.
Yeah.
That was
really, really fun interview. Hopefully you guys like that. Again, local company, grassypantsbeef.com. Definitely check them out. And then doortodoororganics.com, where you can buy the majority of the beef and other.
Acquire it.
Yeah, and then other organic foods as well. So there you go.
All right, well, we'll come back and we'll give you a quick runaround of what's going to happen this week, what you can go see and do in the City of Fountains. That's when we return to the Tim and Tom Show here on the Trending Topics Network. City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show. And telling you about upcoming events.
Yes.
Yes. So, Tom,
Yeah?
What's happening in Kansas City this week?
We've got a lot of events, and we're only just going to touch on a few because of time purposes.
Oh,
and,
yeah. This is certainly not all-inclusive.
Of course. But some
this
of the...
this is all that's going on.
This is it. Nothing else. Right. Go to one of these, and that's all you get.
That's all you get.
No, but we're going to just touch on a few. And if you have any events that you want us to be aware of, feel free. Email us at...
TimandTomKC@gmail.com.
Or send us a tweet at...
TimandTomKC.
There you go.
Or go to Facebook.com/TimandTomKC. Tim and Tom Casey.
There you go. Yeah. So if you have an event that we're unaware of and want to share it, please feel free to join the community and interact with us in one of those
ways. Talk
to
us. We're lonely sometimes.
A lot of the times. Anyhow, let's get
on to it.
So what we got going on this week, September 28th, the National College Fair.
It's Monday.
Yes, this is going to be at the KC Convention Center. It's going to feature over 150 colleges and universities from around the country. Mm. Everyone is welcome. It will feature free workshops on college planning and financial aid, kind of like what we're speaking about with freezing college tuition. You got to put a lot of preparation in just to go to college.
Just to get your finances in order to
go. Yep. And, you know, planning for where you want to go, what do you want to major in, things like that. All of that information is going to be available at the National College Fair, September 28th at the Kansas City Convention Center. Moving on, September 30th at the Sprint Center, we've got one of the most iconic bands in music history. We've got The Who right here playing for you in the background.
Yeah.
One of the most iconic bands of all time. I don't know if there's a person on this planet who hasn't heard one of their songs.
The Who?
Exactly.
The Who.
The Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Who?
Exactly.
No, The Who.
The Who.
Right.
They're going to be here. Great venue for a band.
How cliche could I run with that joke?
Yeah. Yeah. And you did. He ran with the farm.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
But one of the best places for a concert, and especially for a concert of this magnitude, because you're going to get a light show and... You know,
it's gotta
screens,
be some flames.
Yeah, flames, screens
yeah,
coming
a lot
from
of leather.
You know, this. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. And you're going to see probably people of all ages getting down at that one. So that's going to be September 30th at the Sprint Center.
Yes.
October 1st, going with a little bit more contemporary music at the Arvest Bank Theater, or at the Midland.
Yes.
You've got Glass Animals. And Glass Animals, one of my favorite bands right now. They just have such a great vibe. I mean, this song right here kind of gets you into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of great hits. This is probably their most popular that we've got on the radio right now. If you haven't checked them out, you know, obviously try to find some music of theirs. And if you want a good, great show at a kind of intimate location.
Yeah, the Midland's good for that.
The Midland's great for this type of style of music. So, Glass Animals, October 1st. Then we've also got an event at the Crown Center called Craft.
Craft?
Yes, it's over 80 shopping vendors, Craft Food Pavilion, whiskey seminars, and tastings.
I like to taste whiskey.
So there you go. Also,
I'm a big fan of tasting whiskey.
Also, you have wine seminars and tastings as well.
I'm a big fan of tasting wine also. I'm very all-inclusive with my tastings.
Very, very.
Yes.
And they're going to include local food trucks, local bands. It will cost around $7 to $15. So
$7 to $15.
Yeah. So if it's
just whatever they feel like at the time.
If that's in your budget. Yeah.
For you, $16.32.
Right.
You know, but for him, $15.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's at Crown Center. Gonna be a really cool event. I think there's a lot of. I mean, when you have local food trucks, local bands, wine tasting, whiskey tastings.
I'm sold.
You know what I
mean? Food, whiskey, and wine.
Under $20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
from $15 to $17, yeah, count me in.
Yeah. So we've got that going on. And then Saturday 3rd, another iconic act is coming in, but not of the music variety.
Oh.
Of the stand-up variety.
Oh.
Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy will be coming here to the Midland.
Very funny.
Oh, my goodness. And
some good down-home comedy right there.
Definitely great for this part of the land.
Yep.
I think they, you know.
This part of the land.
They got their bread and butter coming right through here.
Yes, they do.
And good guys. Larry the Cable Guy actually started out at 98.9 The Rock.
That's right.
With Johnny Dare.
Yeah.
So, local boy coming back. He's a big Royals and Chiefs fan. Went to Nebraska, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a Nebraska guy. I don't know if he's a Chiefs fan, but he said he was a de facto Royals fan because he's friends with Ned Yost and Alex Gordon came from Nebraska.
What a name dropper right there, right? Oh, I'm just friends with your manager, so I guess I'm going to be friends.
Well, I guess Ned Yost was a Braves guy, which he was a big Braves fan. Right. He was saying it on a local radio station that I was listening into. Not going to give them free plugs.
Ha-ha, no.
Because...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's good. That's some good quick events. And also, of course, visit the web pages of the Sprint Center.
Of course.
Visit KC.
We still have the Renaissance Festival going on until October 18th. So check that out. If you haven't gone to that yet, get a chicken wing. And so
get a big old turkey leg.
Yeah, a turkey leg. Yeah, that's there what you go. Get a big old turkey leg.
And club somebody over the head.
Why
not?
You know,
take a winch home with you or something. I don't
Watch
know.
Watch a joust.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
That Renaissance Festival stuff's fun.
I love it. Yeah. I do like going
good
to it.
Good stuff. All right, so then we'll get out of here for the week.
Mm-hmm.
A quick and easy show. Kept you up to date.
Hopefully you learned about some grass-fed beef. Got some good positive stories to hopefully uplift you until we're joining you again next week. Mm-hmm. And
if you go to any of these events or any other ones, tweet us at Tim and Tom KC or Tim and Tom KC on the Facebook, facebook.com/ Tim and Tom KC.
Send us an email.
Send us an email. Give us some pictures. Tell us what you did, what you thought of it.
Right.
And then we'll be back next week for episode 3.
We're starting the movement
here on the Tim and Tom Show on the Trending Topics Network.